Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He was a take-charge kind of guy. He could give and take orders. He was a man of authority and under authority. Who am I talking about? The centurion in the text, that Roman soldier that we talked about in the children's sermon. Why is it that Jesus Christ, our Lord, marveled at the centurion's faith? He was not from Israel. Why did God, in Jesus, marvel at the faith of the centurion? I have a few reasons, I think, from the text today that we could consider together as the people of Christ and say, yeah, that's why God marveled at the faith of the centurion. Number one, the first reason, he had heard and believed in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. He had heard and believed in Jesus. Did you read the text very closely? It does not say that he saw Jesus do miracles and therefore said, yes, Jesus, come to my house and do the same thing that you did for them. Do it at my house. It said he had heard about Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. And he believed. He said, yes, I want that man to come help me with my servant. Faith comes how? By hearing. By hearing the word of Christ, St. Paul says in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. He had faith the same way you and I have faith. We have not seen Jesus, and yet we believe. We have faith because we have heard. And for this reason, God in Christ Jesus marvels at the centurion's faith, not even an Israelite, and yet he heard and believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus said at one time, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Here's a man who had not seen and yet believed. Number two, the soldier considered himself unworthy. Did you hear that in the text? At first he says, yes, would you come and heal my servant? He sends the elders of Israel, thinking maybe they have some clout or some status. Sends the elders of Israel. They're in the town of Capernaum, so maybe they're the elders of Capernaum, but they went to Jesus, and you know what they said about this man? He is worthy to have you do this because he loved our country and he built for us our synagogue. He's a worthy man. He loves the country. He's done good for the nation. And yet this man, he kind of reconsiders his question, his asking, and he sends his friends to Jesus and he says, look, Jesus, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. He showed himself to be unworthy. Truly, it would have been a little odd for an Israelite to enter a Gentile's house. Maybe he was looking out for Jesus too. I don't want you, perfect Israelite, to be in a stain-filled Gentile's house. A soldier's house, after all, probably only has milk and butter in the fridge. It's probably not a very good place to be. No Jewish foods that are kosher and all that. Don't come to my house. And yet he says, Lord, I'm not worthy. He considers himself unworthy. And I think for this reason, Jesus marvels at his faith. Jesus never loved a guy who was proud of his own faith and says, I believe, look at all I've done, I tithe of everything I get. Rather, he marvels at those who say, Lord, have mercy. I'm unworthy. I'm a sinner. I've come into your house today, how? Not worthy of anything. But, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me. And if you're going to help me, how is it going to be? Not by works, not because I've earned it, but because of grace. If Jesus did come to this man's house and heal his servant, it would be totally by grace, a free gift, because this man had done nothing to earn it. He was not even an Israelite. And yet Jesus marvels at this man's faith. Number three, this man understood, this centurion, understood authority. He said it in the text, I'm a man with people under me, I tell this one go, and he goes, and this one come, and he comes. So Jesus, all I need you to do is say the word. Just say the word, I know how it is. I'm a man of authority. And Jesus marvels at this man's faith. You know, we today, we tend to distrust authority, don't we? We kind of, any authority, I don't know, Catholic Church, you've had some stained past, not going to trust you. Even any church, Lutheran Church, I don't know. Any authority, the government, I don't know, you've got, but I'm not going to trust, and maybe some of that is justified, right, for some of the things that they've done. They're filled with sinful human beings, Luther says. Of course there's going to be problems with authority, right? And yet this man still says authority is important, doesn't he? There are some authorities that you ought to trust. Honor your father and your mother. There's the first authority we meet when we're born. We're supposed to honor them. God establishes all authority on earth. It's not as though we were supposed to be sticking it to the man, to everybody. No, indeed, we are to honor authority, respect authority, respect all authorities. If they're not telling you to do something against the Word of God, that's okay, we honor them. They're put there by God to protect the innocent, to reward those who do good, to punish the evildoers. Honor authority. And really, Jesus also talks about authority, doesn't he? And we, if we're going to know Jesus and love Jesus, we have to honor his authority. And he says at the end of his gospel in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Trust that authority. Trust God. Trust his authorities in so far as they obey God. But when they disobey God's laws, then we must obey God rather than men. But this centurion, a man of authority. And I think for this reason, Jesus marvels at this man's faith. Finally, the fourth reason today, this man cared for someone else. He did not ask Jesus to come and put his arm back together. He'd been sliced up in a few battles. He didn't ask him to come over and make some special toast or a new table. He didn't ask for something selfish, did he? He wanted Jesus to come and heal his highly valued servant. This man, this centurion, who didn't always have the best reputation, he cared for someone else. He cared for those under him. He could have said, well, I can just get another one. Just let this one die. I'll get another one. This guy was at the point of death. He could have said, I'll just get a different one to replace you. I'm a man of authority, after all. A true good authority doesn't leave his underlings, his servants, does he? He cares for them. Does Christ Jesus, who has authority over us, does he say, I can just make a new believer? I don't care if you fall, that's okay. We'll get a new believer. If you die, no big deal. Well, Jesus, God, I am God. I'll just raise up a new believer out of the stone, right? No, God cares for you. And we as the church, we're kind of like the centurion. We come to church, do we pray? Yeah, we do pray for ourselves, but mostly when we pray for others. We pray for faith for me because I doubt, I have all sorts of problems, trials, crosses, we all have that. That's sin, that's our natural nature. But by the Spirit, we confess and say, praise be to God. But then we're led to be pushed not inward and say, oh, everything I'm going to pray about is about me. Rather, we care for others. After all, Jesus came to the world. He didn't care for himself. He made himself a servant of all of you. I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. The centurion was someone Jesus, in a sense, could model for himself. The other way around, of course, but you see what I mean, is that he cared for someone else. When many of the Jews, perhaps, were more concerned about the temple upkeep or other things and didn't care for others. He cared for someone else. And Jesus marvels at his faith. My last question today is for all of you. What would it take for God in heaven to look down upon you and marvel at your faith? What would it take? Perhaps from the text today we can learn this. One, we could say what? We're unworthy. I'm unworthy. Secondly, we could honor God's authority. Third, we could care for someone else. Would that not be a way in which God knows our trust and He marvels at our faith? We don't have to go away and enter a monastery to please God. We don't have to go to seminary to please God and to have Him marvel at our faith. Faith is not just a bunch of head knowledge, is it? It's trust of the heart. To hear the Word of God being preached and trust, God, just say the Word. Don't even come into my house. I'm not worthy. Just say the Word and it will be done. For that, God will marvel at your faith. May it ever be by the Holy Spirit working faith in you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.